Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. It's my views and, well, the views of our guest. This evening, our guest is Dr. Garth Nicholson, who's an internationally known scientist and researcher, who's kind enough to come onto our programs and keep us abreast of some of the fascinating things that are happening in the field of science, especially in this field of chronic infections that really are disabling so many people. New diseases like chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia and Lyme disease and certainly many of these specific diseases even affect many of our children with autism, because of course they seem to have an altered immune system. So without further ado, let's get Dr. Nicholson's view on what's going on and what we know, what we don't know, and what can be done to help these tragic people. Dr. Nicholson, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on your program again, Stan.
Well, tell us now, where do we stand, and is there anything new?
Well, this evening we were going to concentrate on neurodegenerative diseases, and this is an increasing problem, not only in our population, but all around the world. Basically, people know these as a collection of different degenerative diseases involving the central nervous system, like Alzheimer's disease, for example. And this is the most common cause of dementia in aging people. And Alzheimer's disease is really a collection of brain disorders. It's not just one disease. It's a group of different diseases, and they're characterized by slow progressive loss of brain function. And it can be seen in people by lapses in memory, disorientation, confusion, mood swings, changes in personality, language problems, and so on. But then there are other groups of diseases. Some are autoimmune in nature, and others are involve cell death. For example, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease. ALS is a neurodegenerative disease that is increasing in incidence, as all the neurodegenerative diseases are. And this one's characterized by cell death in the midbrain and brainstem, and it leads to a loss of motor function. And typically patients start losing control eventually of their breathing and swallowing and so on, and this eventually leads to their demise. There are other more autoimmune types of neurodegenerative diseases, like multiple sclerosis, which actually comes about because of an immune response against the protective sheaths around nerves, and eventually these sheaths degenerate, and the nerves die along with that, or become sick and are unable to transmit their electrical impulses. So this is another different type of neurodegenerative diseases. And there's some others as well, but these are the ones that we're going to concentrate on tonight. And the reason that we're going to concentrate on these is because of new evolving illness indicating that the chronic infections are an important aspect of all these diseases.
All right, fine. Well, I think this is fascinating because, of course, in the past there was really nothing that we had to offer people with these diseases. You just said, well, you know, they were idiopathic, which really means we didn't know why. But if chronic infection plays a part in this, then, of course, can the chronic infection be cured, or can we do something to increase the immune response so the body will take care of this, or a combination? And we're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Garth Nicholson as we begin to explore these neurodegenerative diseases increasing in frequency, not only across America, but across the world. Well, Garth, you go right ahead and pick the story up there.
Well, first I wanted to mention that the reason that we are so interested in this aspect of these diseases are that basically in the past people thought that these were genetic-based diseases, but the incidences of these diseases are increasing so rapidly that you can't explain the incidence on just the basis of genetic susceptibility alone. There's something else involved. And that's something else we believe now are infections that get in the brain, get in the central nervous system, and cause the havoc, and in some cases maybe even initiate these different diseases in susceptible people. And so this may explain the skyrocketing incidence of these various neurodegenerative diseases in our population and other populations as well. And the reason, because we're seeing an increase in these infections across the board, both in young people and old people. But old people are particularly susceptible because their immune systems tend to go down slowly with age, and this makes them more susceptible. And, of course, most of these neurodegenerative diseases are diseases of the aging, but not always. In fact, we're seeing an increased incidence of many of these in younger and younger patients. So with time now, the age of onset is creeping down lower and lower, and I think one of the reasons for that, again, is the fact that these infections may be very important in the onset of these particular diseases. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that there's an infection involved? And this is one thing that we've been involved in directly, and that's looking at a variety of different unusual infections that invade the central nervous system, and these are both viral and bacterial infections. And when these infections get in the central nervous system, they cause all kinds of havoc. In some cases, they can trigger an autoimmune response and lead to conditions like multiple sclerosis, for example. In other cases, they can cause cell death, programmed cell death, as it's called, a phenomena called apoptosis, where the cells degenerate and die. And this we see in amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS. And in some cases, they can cause changes in the metabolism and the biosynthesis machinery inside cells. And in the case, for example, of Alzheimer's disease, this may be important in causing the neurofibril tangles in the cells. These are important structures of the cells which become tangled up in a mesh and they're no longer functional anymore. And the overproduction of certain types of proteins, in this case amyloid proteins, which tend to cause the various pathogenic properties of cells and lead to dementia. So all of these things, it turns out, are related in some way or another. We're not quite sure to these chronic infections.
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Dr. Garth Nicholson. We're just talking about all the diseases, whether it be the Alzheimer's disease or the amyotrophic lateral sclerosis or so many of the other neurodegenerative diseases. That they certainly are not primarily genetic because they're increasing in frequency so rapidly throughout the world. So there seems to be some other cause. So you pick the story up there.
Well, and it's not necessarily that it's a cause, but it's certainly a factor in these diseases, and it may be a very important factor in the onset of the diseases. So we've been talking about Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, ALS, MS, and some of the other. But those are primarily the ones that we deal with and the ones that we work with. And in all these diseases, we found a very important role for both bacteria and viruses. And again, in some cases, the evidence is overwhelming. For example, in Lou Gehrig's disease or ALS, virtually 100% of patients have these unusual bacterial infections called mycoplasma. And these are small, very small bacteria. And they don't have a rigid cell wall around them, so they don't look like the classic bacteria with the rigid cell wall that look like little boxcars lined up. These are amorphic, little pliable little microorganisms that can slip into the brain. And when they do, they tend to like to enter nerve cells. And when they enter nerve cells, they interfere with the metabolism of the cell. And one of the characteristics of all these neurodegenerative diseases is the production of excess oxidative events. And these are damaging to our cells in many ways. They damage the membranes of the cells. they damage the DNA in the nucleus, and they damage the DNA in the mitochondria. And the mitochondria are one of the targets for these oxidative events, and that's one of the reasons why the neurodegeneration occurs, because the mitochondrial function goes down. And we've seen this over and over again in chronic diseases, this loss of mitochondrial function, or the ability to produce energy. So the mitochondria are like the little batteries inside our cells that produce the energy that cells need. And in fact, nerve cells produce or need six times as much energy as a cell somewhere else in the body on the average. And so they're very sensitive to changes in the mitochondria. And so one of the things that happens with the infections like mycoplasma, which are found in all these different neurodegenerative diseases, is that they end up attacking the mitochondria and causing problems with the cells don't have enough energy to perform the functions properly that they need to perform. And this may, in fact, play a role in a lot of the pathology of the system, whether it's cell death or whether it's neurofibril tangles that you see in Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's disease, and all these different abnormal proteins and structures that seem to be present in these cells. And it goes back, a lot of it goes back to the presence of these excess oxidative events that cause damage in the cells. And these infections are one of the causes of those oxidative damage events that occur in the cells. So that's, we think, one of the common denominators of all these chronic neurologic diseases. And we think that this may be a very important reason why these diseases are on the increase. And there is a genetic component involved in all these different diseases. Otherwise, a lot more people would probably have them. But importantly, we can't explain these diseases simply based on genetics and genetic susceptibility. It just doesn't explain what's happening out there in the community.
Do you think that perhaps exposure to certain toxins, whether it be aspartame or fluoride or aluminum or certainly mercury, or some of the other insecticides that we have, make people more susceptible to these chronic infections?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, that's one of the complicated aspects of working on all these diseases, because there are environmental factors that we just don't know how to put them into the equation. We're in our modern society, modern industrial society, we're awash in toxic components and heavy metals and chemicals and you name it. And that just has not happened in the past. 100, 200 years ago, we didn't see all these chemicals because they just weren't around. It's only from the Industrial Revolution and the production of all these chemicals and the release in the environment of all the heavy metals and all the other toxic materials as a byproduct of our industrial age and our industrial processes, do we now have a lot of these toxic elements that are in the environment. They're in the food chain. They're just everywhere. They're in the air we breathe, the food we eat, the things that we come in contact with. So we can't get rid of that. And I think that's an important aspect of this whole process.
All right, fine. Well, of course, then, of course, the question is, what can we do about this? If we know the problem, we see the multiple causes of the problem, and then, of course, we're dealing with mycoplasma, we're dealing with other certainly types of chronic infections, I suppose. Certainly chlamydia fits in here, certain viruses. What about some of these cytomegalic viruses that are the monkey viruses we carry?
Well, we don't know the extent of all the viruses that we're carrying these days. That's one of the problems that we have. We do know that there are some specific examples. For example, in ALS, there's an enterovirus that seems to also be involved. So it's not just the fact that a bacteria like mycoplasma, or now we know that Lyme disease also can play a role in these neurodegenerative diseases. So the Borrelia that's carried by tick, as well as mycoplasma and other chronic infections carried by ticks and passed into the population, these infections are also neurotrophic. They'll also invade into the central nervous system And they'll also cause some of the similar types of problems that we've been discussing. So that's another whole aspect of this problem that we can discuss. And along with the viruses, that some of which are already present, others of which you pick up in childhood. And it seems to be the combination of all these different things that, that seems to be important. It's not just one thing. And I think that's what's confused scientists and physicians that have worked in this area for a long time. We can describe the pathology of these neurodegenerative diseases really quite precisely, but the underlying causes of that pathology have been very elusive. For a while, it looked like it was certain toxic exposures, and then that didn't pan out, and then all of a sudden the genetic aspect became important, but now we know that we can't explain it all by genetics. And now the newest thing now are the infectious aspect of this. And it looks like the combination of all these, the toxic elements, the genetics, and the infections all play a role in these complex diseases and may explain why there's such an increase in the incidence of these diseases in modern man.
Well, of course, then what can we do about it? Is there any way we can approach this with so many various things that could work here?
Well, yes, there are. There are things that we can do. Actually, there are things that people can do themselves to help themselves if they have these diseases, or even if they sense that they might have an onset of these diseases, or people have seen that there are certain changes that have occurred in personality, for example, or certain changes in neuromuscular control. Or, you know, there are certain symptoms that start off, and they're not full-blown disease, but there are certain pre-pathologies, more or less, that are kind of a warning sign that the future may not be very bright. And so at this point in time, the intervention is really essential, because if we wait until, for example, nerve cell death or irreversible changes in nerves have occurred, then it's going to be very hard to change that. But if we can intervene at an earlier stage, then I think we can really work with the cells and prevent them from going on to cell death or irreversible pathology. And that's what's very important in this whole process, is not to wait till the very end. And unfortunately, most of the patients that come to us are really end-stage patients that have tried a number of things, and the neurologists don't have a lot to offer people in terms of viable treatments for these types of diseases. So they generally go through that, and then by the time they get well progressed, they get desperate, they start looking for other problems or other solutions to their problems. And at that point in time, it's very, very difficult to reverse the process. But if we get patients at an earlier stage, there's a lot that we can do. There's a lot we can do in identifying the infections, for example, identifying heavy metal contamination, identifying whether there are chemical exposures, for example, that might be important, identifying, once these things are identified, these problems are identified, then we can really come up with some viable ways in which we can help patients.
Well, you know, really, there's so many things today as far as the insecticides and the pesticides that are out there that we, as you said, we never knew about before, but how can you address this? How can we? We can't just simply isolate ourselves from society, and yet it is really a factor of living in modern society that leaves us open to so many of these things, and certainly in so many areas where the water is fluoridated, so many people are exposed to mercury that unnecessarily. I mean, so many people are exposed to the aluminum in various injections that they're given, and some of these things are direct complications of medical treatment given, certainly with the hope of helping, but I think sometimes leading to disastrous results. What are your thoughts?
Well, there are some solutions to these problems, and I hope that we can discuss these during your program.
Well, because that's so, the nice thing about our program is we can do whatever we want to, so when we get back, you might just want to give you the free rein to begin discussing the approaches that certainly need to be codified, need to be considered, and then, of course, if they're helpful, need to be widely circulated among the medical profession. Because, as you say, the neurologist is wonderful at making the diagnosis, but, of course, when it comes to treatment, He has nothing seriously to offer other people with these terrible degenerative diseases. So why don't you pick up your thoughts on what can be done?
Well, we could start in different categories. You were discussing chemicals and things like the exposure to pesticides.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Certain rectal suppositories can begin to capture the heavy metals that certainly are sequestered themselves in your brain or elsewhere. But these are long, slow processes that are required to begin to get rid of the toxins, to get rid of the pesticides, insecticides. You know, but the things that we can do, you mentioned, any special name for those rectal suppositories?
Yeah, they're called Detoximin, D-E-T-O-X-A-M-I-N. And in fact, we just completed a study that I just submitted for publication using this as a technique to help men with prostatitis. Because in chronic prostatitis, the bacterial infections build up what are called biofilms. And these biofilms are practically impervious, and our immune system can't really attack them. And the bacteria reside in the biofilms, and you can't get at it. And the only way to break these up, it turns out, is to chelate away the calcium and the other divalent cations that hold these biofilms together. And by doing that, we've shown that you can treat refractory prostatitis by using this approach with the Detoximin. And then you can treat with an antibiotic, and it's effective. You can actually kill the infection that way, but otherwise you can't get at it. And so we've seen very dramatic results. That's what we submitted to a urology journal with men that have not only prostatitis, but most of them had benign hyperplasia of the prostate gland itself, and that actually assisted that, because the heavy metals and the divalent cations, when they get in the system, eventually these can cause cancer themselves, or they can promote cancer at least. And so getting rid of them is very important. So we're not only talking about, in the case of removing heavy metals, helping protect you from neurodegenerative diseases, this has a remarkable protection of our vascular system as well, because part of the reason that arteriosclerosis plaques build up is because of the deposit that gets on the vascular system, and part of that deposit requires the presence of these divalent cations, metal and calcium and other things, to hold these deposits together. Once they're once you remove those metals, the deposits can be broken up and removed. And so we've seen that as a very interesting byproduct of treating this prostatitis, is that some of the coronary problems started to be reversed in these people as well. So the amazing things happen when you start ridding your body of some of the excess calcium, excess heavy metals that can cause problems.
And I really think that's really so vitally important, because everybody's so worried about the cholesterol, but the most significant thing is to keep your calcium down, and because if you don't have a calcification in those arteries, well, you're not going to probably get the heart attacks and the strokes. And so this will actually then tend to rid the body of the calcium without affecting the integrity of the bone?
If you do it in the right way, it will remove it, because this is the calcium that is complexed in the vessel wall and in the biofilm. And what you do is you remove that, but at the same time you can add good calcium back. It's not complexed. And that will go into the bones and other things and help the bones. But these biofilms and the bacterial infections that are causing the biofilms tend to remove the good calcium, and they make it turn it into bad calcium, complex calcium in the biofilm. And the idea is that you need to get rid of that.
Is that Detoximin available, or certainly over the counter in pharmacies?
Yes, it is. It's available. They can go on our website, for example, and find out more information about it. It's in the instructions that we have under our website, which is the Institute for Molecular Medicine, www.immed.org. It's like immediate.org. www.immed.org. Patients can go under treatment considerations and download documents that explain how to use these to treat chronic illnesses in general.
Well, I think that's really fascinating, because certainly I've been looking for something that would help as far as that the calcium is concerned, which is really the major problem we have as far as coronary artery disease. And they've got us all chasing after the wrong issue, as far as I'm concerned. If you can control the calcium, well, you can control the coronary artery disease.
We can certainly control the plaque formation,
right,
which is a very important aspect of it.
We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Garth Nicholson. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Dr. Garth Nicholson. Please go right ahead.
Well, those approaches that I just mentioned are not only useful for adults with neurodegenerative diseases, but also children with behavioral disorders like autism, for example, attention deficit disorder, and Asperger's disease, and all these other autistic spectrum disorders, which we know involve things like heavy metals, contamination, and in some cases chemicals. And then I'll get to the third point, which is the chronic infections, and that seems to be involved there as well. So both adults and children have these problems, which are increasing in incidence, and a lot of this is very complicated because it involves different types of toxic materials that are in our body. But the final note, now that we've discussed the removing the heavy metals and removing the calcium from the deposits like the biofilm produced by bacteria, is to really get rid of the bacteria, because this is extremely important, not only in coronary disease and in circulatory disease, but also in neurodegenerative diseases and a variety of these other diseases, everything from fatiguing illnesses to autoimmune diseases and a variety of different diseases that we face. The role of chronic infections is now so important. And the first step of this is to, of course, being able to identify these chronic infections. And fortunately, the public is more aware of these than ever before, particularly with the increase in Lyme disease incidents. And Lyme disease, one of the primary or few of the primary infectious agents in Lyme disease are the very ones that we've been talking about, the Lyme Borrelia, Burgdorferi, for example, the mycoplasma, and other types of similar infections. There's a whole host of infections in Lyme disease. Almost every patient has multiple infections. And that's why people that have been bitten by a tick and have Lyme disease, all of a sudden they start having these other problems as well. Autoimmune problems, neurodegenerative disease problems, all the things that we've been talking about can happen. And in fact, I just spoke at a conference about children with autism, and Lyme disease now is going hand in hand with increased autism rates, and so we think it plays a very important role there as well. So these chronic infections are the third part of the triad that I want to discuss tonight, because we need to get a handle on these. We need to identify them and then effectively treat them, and that's one of the things that we do as well as the other aspects of what I've been discussing tonight. But I'd say we're kind of specialists at identifying these unusual chronic infections. So I mentioned before mycoplasma, and this is these unusual small bacterial...
Please hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Nicholson's been talking about the various things we have to be concerned about with these chronic infections, certainly getting rid of the other heavy metals, getting rid of the insecticides and pesticides and other toxins that are within the body, and then, of course, beginning to talk about the chronic infections, whether they be bacterial, whether they be viral, whether they be the spirochete is with Borrelia, which we see with Lyme disease, or certainly the mycoplasma. These chronic infections that get into the cell and wreak their havoc there, and are so difficult to identify because they don't fit into what the physician is ordinarily looking for. But before we get into the subject infection, Dr. Nicholson, would you mind getting your website out and how people could have access to your information?
The best way to get the information is really to go to our website, the Institute for Molecular Medicine. You can do a search for that, or you can bring up www.immed.org, like a media.org. And that's the official website of the Institute for Molecular Medicine. And we have a tremendous amount of information on the website in the area of neurodegenerative diseases, in the area of fatiguing illnesses, autoimmune diseases, and a variety of other diseases that we would say are post-industrial age problems, because they involve these combinations of different toxic exposures. And the chronic infections are something that we've worked very hard on, because this is part of the glue that holds all these different things we've been talking about tonight together. Because In the case of biofilm, you can't have biofilm without the bacterial involvement because they actually make it. So we know that it's very important in the coronary heart disease problems, for example. We know that these infections are very important in the oxidative damage to the membrane that you see in practically every different chronic illness that's known in modern man. Involves this increased oxidative damage to our cells, to the membranes of the cells, to the DNA of the cells, and to the organelles like the mitochondria, the little batteries inside our cells that produce the energy that's necessary for cell functioning. All these things are very susceptible to these chronic infections. So we know that these infections are extremely important, and that's why we see such a high incidence of these infections in the various chronic illnesses that I've been discussing. And one of the things that has confused physicians, and particularly infectious disease specialists, about these chronic infections is that you never see 100%. Well, there's some exceptions. In ALS, we see practically 100%. But in most of the other diseases, you don't see incidence of 100% of any one of these infections. And I think the reason for that is that a number of different infections can play this role. And often people have multiple infections. So you wouldn't expect to see every person having the same unusual infection. That's not what we see. We see some people might have Borrelia, other people might have mycoplasma, some people might have Ehrlichia infections, some people might, you know, and it goes on and on and on. But the overlap in what these chronic infections do, that's what is important. And one of the commonalities of all of these chronic infections is that they increase the rate of oxidative damage in the cell. And this really disturbs the entire function of the cell and throws everything out of kilter, as well as damages the mitochondrial membranes, makes them leaky, and it's just like taking a battery and stripping the insulation off the battery when you make them leaky, and if you do that, you know your flashlight's going to go out very quickly. And the same problem inside our cells, our mitochondria, when they get damaged and they get oxidized, they tend to lose their ability to make energy and help our cells. So we've been working on some products that replace these damaged lipids, for example, and help protect the DNA. And that's another thing I want to talk about in the context of the chronic infections. But it's not only chronic infections. There are a number of other environmental exposures that can do the same thing. For example, certain heavy metals can also cause this problem as well. So it's not just infections. But we've been working with products like NT Factor, and you can find out about that on our website. That's really a mixture of membrane lipids and that are not oxidized. They're protected from being oxidized, and you can take this supplement. It's a food supplement. These are all natural foods, and take this orally, which I do every day, and it helps protect your mitochondria from damage by replacing the damaged oxidized lipids with unoxidized, undamaged lipids. And then you can regain the function. And we've actually seen this in patients that have lost the function, mitochondrial function, that within 30 to 60 days, we can now correct that problem with their system, and their mitochondrial function goes back to the normal level. Even in aged people, this is a natural occurrence during aging, by the way. By the time we accumulate all these different toxic elements during aging, our mitochondria tend to go down in their function. Well, you can actually restore the function, the mitochondria, of people that are 70 years old to the level of a 30-year-old after 60 to 90 days of NT Factor. And we've shown that and published that, and some of those publications are actually on our website. Now, one of the major problems of these chronic infections is that they cause this type of damage, but they also do other things inside the cells as well. They can stimulate autoimmune reactions. They stimulate the release of cytokines, which are little chemical mediators that cause a lot of the symptoms. So a lot of the symptomatology that we see with these various chronic illnesses are due to the host reactions to the illness, not necessarily the illness itself. And so a lot of the signs and symptoms are the host trying to adapt or trying to respond to the fact that these infections are there, and this causes us a lot of problems, and it gives us a lot of signs and symptoms that ordinarily we wouldn't have. We can identify these chronic infections. We've been involved in the vanguard of developing new genetic techniques to identify these types of infections. We've passed a lot of that on now to commercial laboratories because we've pretty much finished our development of a lot of the tests. And so commercial labs are now able to perform these tests. And Medicare, for example, and Medicaid will cover the cost of these tests so people don't have to worry anymore about asking their doctor to have unusual tests done and know where to get them reimbursed. So a lot of that problem is behind us. Some of the insurance companies are still dragging their feet, like Kaiser, for example. But eventually they'll have to come on board because it'll just be too cost-effective for them to avoid not finding these infections and properly treating them. And we've come up with some techniques of treatment. They not only involve, for example, antibiotics for the bacterial or antivirals for the viruses, but they involve a number of other aspects of the treatment, building back the immune system with immune enhancers, natural things that you can do as well to improve your system, to improve the nature of your of the metabolic systems in your cells and so on. And it's interesting how a lot of these things are actually out there. It's just a very few places try and put them together. They don't try and put the natural types of approaches together with the allopathic approaches or the prescription-driven pharmaceutical company approaches to solving diseases. And in fact, you've got to do both. You can't just take one approach on these problems. And I think that's one of the problems that traditional allopathic medicine has had in dealing with these chronic illnesses is that really a much more global approach is required, I think, to effectively treat these. And that's just not taught in medical school. And I know I taught medical school for 25 years, and so I have a pretty good idea what's still being taught in medical school. And it's just grudgingly now being taught to medical students, so it's going to take years for this to become mainstream out in the medical community. And that's kind of a tragic thing, so I think patients are going to have to be the driving force. And we've seen this recently with the Internet and with information so widely available that a lot of these things are now patient-driven. They're no longer physician-driven. And I think that's healthy if people get the right information.
Well, of course, that's why we do what we do, and that's why you come onto our programs to help get that information out. And I really believe there's so many people who have these chronic diseases. I mean, it's almost frightening when you talk to people and realize how many of them have the chronic fatigue or the chronic fibromyalgia or the chronic Lyme disease, and they have so much difficulty getting treatment. This is the common denominator. You know, where can I get treatment? That's the question.
It's a very common question. People come to us all the time, and unfortunately, we have limited resources to put into that sort of category because most of our resources go right directly into research. So there are organizations out there that can help people, for example, with autoimmune problems. The Road Back Foundation, www.roadback.org. Is a good place for information. There are different patient support groups out there. That patient support groups are actually pretty good because they actually are at the cutting edge in many respects of new therapies, and they know the physicians that use these new therapies, and they know where patients can go to get help. So they're actually a very good source of information. For example, just this week I've been helping a patient-oriented organization that deals with Morgellons disease, which I didn't want to get into tonight. We can talk about that some other time. But I just put a document on our website just yesterday, for example, to help people with Morgellons disease. And again, there's some very unusual aspects of that. And again, this approach requires an environmental approach. It requires a approach with the right supplements that people take. It also requires a more allopathic medical approach as well. So again, this combination of things that people can do at least two parts of it themselves. The third part may require a physician. But people need to, I think, be empowered to do more to help themselves when they have these disorders, these diseases, because let's face it, they're not going to get all the help that they require or need from the traditional medical services. just because they don't really have a lot to offer when it comes to a lot of these unusual emerging illnesses. And the neurodegenerative diseases certainly fall in that category. There's not a lot that can be done to help people. Yes, there are painkillers. Yes, there are things that will help with dementia. Yes, but will it get at the root cause of the disease? That's unlikely. And it actually is more important for the pharmaceutical companies to have people sick long-term than it is to come up with real solutions to get people well, because then they lose their market. So we're not involved in that at all. We're trying to help people. We want to help people get well. So if you go on our website, you'll see information that is designed to help you get well, help you get better. It's designed to teach you that there are things that you can do yourself to help yourself, and there are things that you have to go to a physician to get help with.
Well, are they actually in the laboratories? Are there ways of separating, you know, whether you're dealing with a Borrelia, that's the spirochete of Lyme disease, or the mycoplasm, or certainly the perhaps the undulant fever, the part of undulant fever bacterium, or certainly which mycoplasm or which viral disease it is? I mean, how can you, are these polymerase chain reactions you're looking for, or how are you identifying this?
Most of the infections that we identify, we use, again, genetic probes and polymerase chain reaction, or PCR probes are one of the most useful techniques that we've used to identify these infections from a blood sample, because these infections tend to be systemic or system-wide, and so we can find these inside cells in the blood. Most of these pathogenic chronic infections actually hide inside our cells, and that's why they're so difficult to find. They can be found with these advanced molecular techniques, and that's what you have to use. The older techniques, like the antibody techniques and antibody tests and so on, that a lot of the mainstream medicine, for example, like Kaiser uses, are just about useless for these types of infections because they hide from the immune system, and they also suppress the immune system, so the immune system can't respond against them and can't make the antibodies, so they don't really show up on those kinds of tests. So I've gotten involved in two Kaiser lawsuits, not that I wanted to get involved in, but people came and asked for help because Kaiser wasn't helping them get better, and they were getting worse and worse and worse, and they were just giving them drugs to mask the problem and weren't helping them get rid of the problem. And we helped them, and all of a sudden they're getting better, and now they're mad at organizations like Kaiser for not helping them over the years. They felt that they've been sick for years, and they didn't have to be sick. And we're seeing this over and over and over again, and it's not that we want to go up against these big healthcare organizations like Kaiser, but they're going to have to change, along with mainstream medicine. They're going to have to change to confront this problem that we now face, particularly with these chronic infections, chronic exposures to chemicals and metals and other things that we see. And all of these are now going to have to be a part of mainstream medicine and not at the fringe of medicine any longer.
Well, I think really it's an exciting thing as you see all of these things unfolding and more knowledge. And even in the perhaps 6 or 8 years we've been talking, why there have been dramatic changes, haven't there?
Oh, there have been very dramatic changes in the last few years. And unfortunately, it takes a while for this to trickle down to the medical community. Basically, our physicians, many of them are overworked. They fall back very heavily on their medical school training. And if people were trained 20 years ago, they're going to have a tendency to lean very heavily on that training 20 years ago and less heavily on the new, current, recent things that have come out. But it changes, and, you know, medicine, like anything else, is very conservative and it's very slow to change, but it will change, and it is changing.
Well, do you think anything can really be done for the person with advanced Alzheimer's disease, or is that pretty much fixed and nothing can be done?
Well, the problem with the neurodegenerative diseases, if they're too advanced and there's too much cell death and too much cell damage that's occurred, it's very hard to reverse that. We need to get patients at an earlier and earlier stage when it is reversible and we can do something to help them. We can identify the infections, identify the chemical contaminants, the heavy metals, and the other things that may play a role in this process and limit that damage. And hopefully those people can be turned around. And we saw some very dramatic turnabout in ALS patients, for example. And these were not highly progressed ALS patients. These were the patients that were just diagnosed, just at the beginning of the disease process. And we were able to reverse that almost completely or completely in these patients. And so that very dramatic changes. We hope to go back to that and do more clinical trials on this to convince the medical community that they need to find these things earlier and use more effective treatments against them.
And of course, these were the patients really with these chronic mycoplasma infections. You mentioned that most of the diseases were multiple diseases, most of the conditions were multiple diseases, but so many of the ALS did have, in fact, most of them had mycoplasma infections. And I'll tell you, when I went to medical...
Virtually all of them have these infections. If they don't have the mycoplasma, they have the Borrelia.
We'll be back in just a moment. Well, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program, Garth. You want to go ahead what's the message you'd like to leave with our patients, with our listeners this evening?
Well, I think I want to go back to this concept that oversimplified concept, actually, that we know that there's at least a triad of different exposures that are important in neurodegenerative and many other diseases, fatiguing illnesses, for example. You mentioned chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia syndrome, autoimmune diseases, and a whole host of other different diseases, that it's this combination of the chemical exposures, the heavy metal type of, and calcium heavy cation exposure, as well as chronic infection and the multiple chronic infections, viruses, and bacteria that are involved. And we've really come up now with some very good technology to deal with and remove a lot of the chemicals that are in our body. And it's a very simple procedure, really, heat puration, saunas repeatedly to try and bring out the chemicals and sweat them out of our body. In the case of the heavy metals and the excess calcium and so on that we find that's so prevalent in the vascular diseases and the neurologic diseases, the chronic neurologic diseases, now we have to use little chemical cages or chelators to remove them. There are some natural ones out there like garlic extract and so on, but they're just not potent enough to do the real job, and that's to remove the excess calcium or remove the free calcium, but the complex calcium that's present in the bacterial biofilm and the plaques and the other structures inside the cells that are damaged. And it's the heavy metals that do the same thing. And this takes a long time. And we've been using these rectal suppositories that put EDTA into the system very naturally and removes these heavy metals, and they're secreted out in the urine and in the feces. Very effective. So that's the one approach that we're using on that. And then in terms of the chronic infections, we've played an important role in identifying chronic infections using the molecular techniques like PCR. And then once they're identified, then there are different techniques that can be used to treat them. Antibiotics, for example, and there's some other natural approaches boosting the immune system. And there are even some nutraceuticals out there that have an effect in suppressing these infections. And there's some of that information is available on our website, www.immed.org.
Well, we've covered an awful lot of material tonight, but I think it's been covered very clearly. I do hope many of our listeners want to get a copy of this tape. God bless, and thanks very much, Garth.
Sure.
Well, this is our guest this evening was Dr. Garth Nicholson, and we covered a lot of material, but a lot of very important material. If you're interested in getting a tape or CD of the program tonight, why, they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And remember, you have to get the chemicals out, you have to get the heavy metals out, and you have to approach one of the infections, bacterial, viral, mycoplasma, spirochete, Borrelia, but it can be done. I suggest you go to Garth's website, immed.org. Now, Dr. Nicholson is going to be our special guest at our October 28th conference. I hope you're going to be able to come. Ron Brown's going to be a speaker. Garth Nicholson, Michael Shaw. We're going to have a great program, so I hope you'll put aside October the 28th. I'll make it a point to be here. If you have not yet read Dr. Nicholson's book, Project Daylily, Project Daylily, only one L and Y, Lily, because that was the name that was given by the government, by the secret part of our government, to their program to create these terrible new chronic diseases, and certainly Morgellons diseases, another example of so many of these diseases, Lyme disease, chronic fatigue. You really need to read Project Daylily. It's an unforgettable experience. Read like a Tom Clancy novel, only this novel is true. It's Dr. Garth Nicholson's personal story of the danger or the attempts to kill both Dr. Nicholson and his wife because they had uncovered a secret government project. Sounds pretty far out. Well, of course, you need to get books like Emerging Viruses by Len Horowitz, my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, my talk on Nundare, Call It Genocide, my talk on Planned Population Reduction, it's available on DVD, my talk on Population Control, and of course our four-tape set on Population Control, our four-tape set on Why Do We Still Have Cancer, our four-tape set on genocide, our four-tape set on Dr. Brzezinski, who had a very effective treatment for cancer, and they tried to put him into prison. We do carry the book written on Brzezinski called The Brzezinski Breakthrough. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there are treatments for cancer that are being actively suppressed and have been suppressed in America for many years. If you read our January 2007 newsletter, it's available at RadioLiberty.com, you'll get a copy of the Fitzgerald Report that has been actively suppressed for 54 years. It comes out of the Congressional Record. Nobody was able to get a copy of it for 54 years. And it's available there at RadioLiberty.com, or certainly if you'd like to get a free copy of that newsletter, we'd be glad to send it to you, or perhaps if you get some of the other products, simply ask for a copy of the Fitzgerald Report, and we'll send you the entire newsletter. We want you to understand what we're really up against. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, if you'd like to get more information about us, you can listen to our programs on Radio Liberty 3 hours a day. You can listen to our programs on Global Star 4 hours a day. And, of course, you can listen to actually 5 different one-hourly programs. We're also on the American Freedom Network at 7 o'clock every morning Pacific Time. Understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. We'll be back in just a moment for the second hour of Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you from New Zealand our good friend Betty Martini and her new friend Abby, and we're going to have to get Abby's last name, but Abby is very well known in New Zealand. She's an actress, and she was suddenly healthy and vibrant and a beautiful young woman until she suddenly began to develop all sorts of almost emotional problems, and was diagnosed by her physician as having depression. And well, I'm going to let Abby or Betty tell the story, and then of course how she was eventually cured of the problems she was having by such a simple thing. And yet there are people all across America today who have similar problems, and the doctors don't recognize it because they have never heard the story you're going to hear tonight. Betty, are you there?
I'm here. Abby, are you here?
I'm here as well.
All right. Abby, what's your last name?
Cormack.
Cormack.
C-O-R-M-A-C-K.
All right, fine. Well, who's going to start out? Abby, why don't you start out telling your story of what happened to you?
Go ahead, Abby. Tell what happened about chewing Wrigley's gum. We're, incidentally, for your listening audience, we're here in New Zealand now.
All right,
okay,
fine.
Okay, I'll start off. In about February of this year, I started developing quite bad feelings of depression. I was extremely irritable and anxious. I wasn't sleeping at all. And this kind of went on throughout February, and I decided I needed to do something about it because it started really affecting my life. So I sought out a psychiatrist in Auckland, New Zealand, where I was living. And I went to see him with these complaints, and he sort of diagnosed me with mild depression and suggested that I take antidepressants, which I declined. I just think maybe, you know, you should deal with these things through perhaps cognitive therapy. So we made another appointment, and we decided that Mum and Dad could also come up. They lived in Wellington at the time, so they flew up from Wellington to Auckland, and I went back to the psychiatrist, and by this stage my symptoms had progressed and I was getting pretty bad. I had social phobia. I was withdrawn socially. I wasn't going out at all. I found it hard to get up in the morning and go to work. I was taking sick leave from work, and I had no reason to be feeling like this. My social circumstances were fine. I was living in a really good social environment with a good bunch of people. I had support from my family. I had a stable job. There was no reason for me to be feeling like this. So we went back to the psychiatrist and was then diagnosed with quite severe depression. And once again, I was offered the opportunity to go on antidepressants, which I declined again. And at this stage, my parents suggested that I should come back down to Wellington to where they live to have support around the home, which I did. And probably about 2 weeks after I got back to Wellington, I started developing these funny tingling sensations in my hands. And at the time, I didn't really think that much of it because I was doing a lot of weight training at the gym. And this can often be a sign of excessive weight training, which is what I got diagnosed with when I originally went to the doctor the first time. And I was complaining of this tingling sensation and muscle cramps. And he sort of dismissed it and said, you know, you should take it easy at the gym. At the same time, I complained of acne. I was getting very bad skin all of a sudden, which I'd never had. Started noticing a change in my articulation. And I just felt really not with it at all. And my concentration was bad. I was isolated from everything. My vision became blurred. Just got worse and worse and worse. And then I made another doctor appointment. Once again, I was told to stop training at the gym. I was prescribed Valium to help me sleep because the muscle cramps got so severe. I was prescribed anti-inflammatories to help me ease the muscle cramps. This didn't do anything. I had blood tests done. This was to check my electrolyte imbalance and, you know, perhaps I had a sodium or a magnesium deficiency. This came back all clear. This is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And
hold that thought, we're going to be
in the middle of the night.
Hold that thought, we're going to be back here in just a moment.
Okay.
Here at Radio Liberty. All right, Abby, go right ahead. Tell us the rest of the story.
Where was I?
You were worried about magnesium deficiency. I said you were having the cramps. You were having visual symptoms. It must have been a little frightening, you know, as you see all of these unfolding symptoms, the tingling of the hands, the cramps. But then, of course, your mind is not functioning correctly. And the doctors are doing the same sort of things I would have done when I was practicing medicine. You treat the symptoms because you have no idea what the cause of them is, and we say depression. But what causes the depression? We see a neuritis, but what's causing the neuritis? You have visual symptoms, but what's causing the visual symptoms? And nobody really had any glimpse or suggestion, did they? Go right ahead.
Hello?
Go right ahead.
Okay, Sam. This is Betty.
Right.
We just lost some. Abby's on the phone. Just stopped, but I'm going to put her on the phone here. But I might mention to you before I give the phone back to Abby that why these things were happening. And I believe you had Dr. Walton, who is a psychiatrist, on your program, and he has written and explained about Abby and the fact of how serious this is when aspartame is in gum, how it's buccal, how it goes through saliva, works like nitroglycerin under the tongue and goes straight to the brain. And this is all these mental problems are because the phenylalanine and aspartame lowers the seizure threshold and depletes serotonin, which causes panic attacks and bipolar and paranoia and all kinds of psychiatric and behavioral problems, and interacts actually with the antidepressants because it is a psycho drug. And in the case of Abby, they were just about to diagnose her with bipolar and put her on Prozac when she happened to get on our website and found out about aspartame and instantly stopped. And this is why we tell people take the 60-day no aspartame test, because if you want to find out, you will know when you stop it. And it was like instantly her psychiatric problems disappeared. And all these problems that she was experiencing and her headaches and everything was just absolutely gone when she got off of it. And it's sort of like, as you know, an allergy. They do the add back when they're trying to find out, for instance, what you're allergic to, as they start taking things out of the diet. And, you know, when your symptoms stop, then they give it back to you on rechallenge. And if the problems come back,
hold that thought. Hold that thought, Betty. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Sydney. Of course, Abby is getting just frightened to death, and then she sort of stumbles onto Betty Bartini's website, and she begins to realize that all of the symptoms she's having could be related to aspartame, and she is chewing. Was it Wrigley's spearmint gum? Wrigley's gum?
Yes, it was Wrigley's gum. And you remember that someone filed suit against Wrigley's in 2004 because they have full knowledge of it, and they've been written constantly about it. And so after the suit was filed, they turn around. Instead of removing it, they put it in almost all of their gums. And to make it worse, they added like sucralose, which liberates chlorine, Splenda, we call it DDT light, and acesulfame potassium, which caused cancer and leukemia in original studies. And all this is, you know, in their gums, and here she is using it. And, of course, you know, it went straight to her brain, and she was having the symptoms that other people that are using the chewing gum, I mean, they keep coming in. We've sent some to Abby of other people that many of them have grand mal seizures on it. We did an expo in Atlanta, Georgia. In fact, University of Georgia, they used a woman who had never used aspartame, handed her one piece of sugar-free gum, and she instantly had a grand mal seizure. And that happened a few weeks ago with someone else. So this is a terrible thing that they would do this completely with full knowledge. And incidentally, the transmission is now back. I think Abby's still on. Abby?
I'm here.
Yeah, she's
all
here.
All right, well, let's go ahead, Abby. So you tell what happened when you got off of the aspartame gum, aspartame-containing gum. So you stopped chewing the gum, and what happened?
I stopped chewing it immediately as soon as I saw what it was doing to me after I got on the doorway.com website. And within 48 hours, all of my physical symptoms disappeared. I had no tinglings in my hand. My muscle cramps were completely gone. I'm clear in my head. My psychological state is so much better. I haven't had one episode of depression. I've been at work every day ever since. So all of my symptoms disappeared, and this was within 48 hours. So it's pretty relieving to be able to find out what it was doing to me, and I'm happy and healthy again.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a wonderful thing, but the tragedy is that all across this my country, all across your country, all throughout the world, the people are being poisoned with aspartame. Now, of course, it poisons you a number of ways, but first of all, because when the molecule breaks down, you end up with methanol, wood alcohol, which is a terrible toxin, but then the phenylalanine and the aspartic acid, amino acids, both of which are important as far as the neurotransmitters in our mind are concerned. Certainly our brain works with serotonin and with norepinephrine. And, of course, both of these amino acids are important in that cycle. And it's amazing how frequent, when you begin to analyze it, the people are with mood alteration and even frank manic or depressive elements associated with aspartame. And yet the average physician has no knowledge of this, and his response is, well, we'll put them on Prozac or one of the other products. And, of course, this is not going to cure the disease, because the disease is being intentionally produced by the aspartame, which is known to have all of these complications and has been known at least for almost 50 years to have all of the complications we're talking about. Well, Abby, how did you feel when you suddenly realized that this was all unnecessary and that the Wrigley Company knew exactly what they were doing?
Pretty angry. Obviously, I was pretty relieved at the beginning, and then I was extremely frightened that these effects were going to be irreversible. But over the last couple of weeks, I have got very angry about it, and I want something done, and especially because in this country, no one is aware of what aspartame can do. I mean, a lot of people don't even know what it is. I've had to explain to several people what it is and what it can do. So that's why Betty's over in New Zealand at the moment, trying to raise awareness in New Zealand and help convince people that this stuff is absolute poison. And it's a hard job over here in New Zealand because, like I say, no one knows about it. Our government don't know about it. Our New Zealand Food Safety Authority, I don't know whether they're covering something up or what, but we're having a hard job trying to convince them that aspartame should be removed from the market.
There is something that needs to be mentioned here. Because of all the publicity that has been on Abby on TV and articles written about Abby, the New Zealand Food Authority immediately put out a defense of the manufacturer saying aspartame is safe. And, of course, I answered that. Much of it was extremely foolish, like there's no toxic breakdown, when, in fact, the Croco study has shown that it embalms living tissue. Do we still have transmission?
You sure doing fine, Ben.
Okay,
don't you worry.
We have a little problem here. In any event, so when I got here, they were not receptive to having me in any meeting because they know that they can't answer it, that I have given them the government documents and scientific peer-reviewed studies, and so they have no answer, which is really a tragic thing, that they are not trying to help the people of New Zealand or wanting to research it any further, but simply protect, the manufacturers of aspartame. And one of the questions is coming up is about amount, and I brought with me the August 1985 congressional record so the government could see that Dr. Adrian Gross, who was the FDA toxicologist that who was on site, testified before Congress that because aspartame causes brain tumors and brain cancer, that the FDA should not have ever been able to set an allowable dose. and all this propaganda where you have to use 14 cans of Diet Coke and such. But according to the FDA's own toxicologist, there is no safe dose. So there has been the case of a person having one piece of sugar-free gum with aspartame in it and having a grand mal seizure. And then there's the case of Abby, who used more than that. But it does build up in your system, as the Croco study shows. And Wrigley's has no defense. We still have the letters that have been written over the years to them and the suit that was filed against them. And they're still putting it in.
Whatever happened to that lawsuit, Betty? Oh, was that actually just thrown out? Did they fix the judge or what happened?
We don't know whether it was settled or whether it was dismissed. But the point of it is that Wrigley's can't say that they don't know. And they were sent years ago Dr. Roberts' paper on absorption and how something like gum would go straight to the brain. They've had all the information. And so that there is no excuse whatsoever. And in one case, there's a man in Mission Possible, North Dakota. There was no big announcement. We just put aspartame in almost all of our gum. So people who were chewing things like Juicy Fruit that had sugar in it didn't know to check the label. I mean, they'd been using it for years and years. So this man was chewing it and almost went off a cliff. So we've had some cases that are horrific, and one of them came in, in fact, from your radio program after I was on the first time telling, you know, the horrific symptoms and the poisoning, like Abby, and they were glad to hear it on the radio because they had gone through exactly the same thing. So, you know, it's happening everywhere, and the problem is Abby was fortunate because she got on the website and found out, but most of the people don't know. And it's interesting, for instance, that during a meeting, this meeting with the New Zealand, I was not in there, but you know, that somebody was actually heard her talking about the tingling and what went on, and then they said they realized now the problem they had had. You see, they don't associate it. They can't imagine somebody would actually put poison in the food. So when they get all these tinglings and of course, it hardens the synovial fluid, and, you know, so it causes joint pain and muscle pain. They have no idea where it's coming from. And in the same case like Abby, when she went to the doctor, this point is brought out in Dr. Roberts' medical text. And in any of his books, he said that patients are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars going from doctor to doctor, and it doesn't show up, you know, and it's needless diagnostic work and surgery when their only help is if they will get off aspartame. That's the only way. So these people seeking help can't get help, and that's the reason, you know, that so many physicians now are setting up aspartame detox centers, so that we have a place to send them. And then Essence in Asheville, North Carolina, is taking the aspartame victims that are having a hard time getting off for addiction. Can you just imagine a government that would allow methanol, a poison which is classified as a narcotic, and of course this causes the chronic methanol poisoning, which affects the dopamine system of the brain and causes the addiction. And these poor people go through symptoms that they claim, you know, is like getting off of cocaine. And so now, you know, there are more doctors helping. Dr. Stoller has an aspartame detox center in New Mexico, and Dr. Harding in Chicago. So, you know, we're trying to get help to the people that way. And then we have an aspartame information list on WNHO.net where they can get on this list. And Dr. Blaylock has written a detox program called What to Do If You've Used Aspartame, so they can get some help. And, you know, the fortunate ones find out. And that's why programs like yourself getting to thousands and thousands of people, you know, are getting these people off, you know, while there's a chance that we can help them before too much damage is done.
Well, this is what we have to do, is just keep hammering away at it until people eventually realize that the FDA is allowing to be poisoned. Well, Betty, it sounds to me, though, like they're all primed, doing everything over there that they can, of course, keep from New Zealand and the government of New Zealand from revealing that there is a planned program to poison the population, not just here in America, but all throughout the world, and, of course, the Wrigley's of various types of gum containing the aspartame, which is a poison. Certainly the methanol is a poison, the aspartic acid and phenylalanine affect the brain, and of course the methanol affects just about every organ in the body. It certainly, wood alcohol causes visual symptoms. In fact, we talked to the gentleman, the psychiatrist, the other day who was doing a double-blind study, and they had one group they gave the aspartame to, and the other group didn't give it, but we had a group there that was completely normal. They put them on aspartame, and they actually had to stop the study because two of them developed severe visual symptoms, both with permanent impairment of vision, simply from being on aspartame. The government officials know about this, and of course there are certain of them who feel very strongly it's a terrible thing, but they don't dare speak out. They would lose their jobs, and others, of course, know exactly what they're doing, and they really don't care, and they have a different agenda. Well, Abby, this must have been quite a revelation to you when you suddenly got into this and then suddenly found this tremendous opposition to trying to help people avoid the utilization of this poison. What was your first impression as you got into the battle?
Dismayed.
Yes, go ahead. Wasn't it sort of unbelievable?
That no one will pick it up and listen, you know? And this has been going on in New Zealand for just over a month. And there's been a lot of people that have written into the papers giving me positive feedback saying, look, I've felt this, and I've had several emails from people all over the country saying, oh, I've had similar symptoms. So this is what I'm going to put forward to the government, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, that this stuff needs to be taken off the market. And that's Becky's over here to help me do that. At the same time, we're going to be launching a campaign in New Zealand, and I've named it Anti-951 Week. And I'm going to encourage the whole country to come off aspartame, any product containing aspartame, and just see how they feel. Because I think that's the main thing, is that if we can get feedback from the consumers of the product, that's what's going to push the government, and that's when they may do something about it. Because I'm one case. I'm one reported case, and I think that any more, you know, I think it's going to be beneficial. You know, we're going to get this stuff off the market as soon as we get some other cases.
Well, I'm certainly hoping and wishing it could, because if even one country would bring out the truth about it, then, of course, the information we'd try to get would begin to spread across the entire world. I know that Betty and the group down there in New Mexico did everything they could, but of course the opposition was there, very well organized, very well financed, and they wanted to continue poisoning the public. Now, there is no other logical explanation. They know from the scientific studies what they're doing. They know the terrible harm they're doing, and they intend to continue. And it is so difficult for the average rational mind, unless, of course, they've had some personal experiences I have had on other but very similar related circumstances, to believe this could really be going on. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Abby now is feeling fine. She's doing everything she can to let the people of New Zealand know what's going on. She's got a fair amount of publicity, and she intends to attend some government meetings and try to get the New Zealand government, and New Zealand's not that large a country, so, I mean, there'd be a much better chance of getting it off the market, taken out of foods there, than probably any other place. And they're good people, basically, over in New Zealand, but it's so difficult with the media against you, and certainly the government is against you, and I'm sure they have some experts over there working for the government who say there's nothing to worry about, absolutely nothing, and it isn't true. They are poisoning the people of New Zealand as they're poisoning the people of the United States, as they're poisoning people throughout the world. And the majority of the people are going to find it very difficult to believe. But there certainly is no question that it is taking place, is there, Betty?
Now, you know, when I first got here, I talked to somebody in the government, and one of the points that was made is that they go by America. They're not doing studies over here in New Zealand, and so they accept what, you know, America has put out, and of course the FDA's propaganda is the industry's propaganda. And that's one of the things that needs to be done in these countries, is they need to see the actual documents by the FDA, where the FDA is admitting that it causes cancer. They need to know that it was not only not safe, that they tried to indict the company. And I know that you have Sweet Misery, A Poison World, explaining how Don Rumsfeld got it on the market. Well, these other countries, they don't know. They're just accepting what they are getting from America. And if all these different governments had a chance to look and see that the FDA themselves have admitted how deadly it is and how desperately they tried to keep it off the market. The problem is that once they got it approved, they can't say, okay, we approved it, but it's not safe. It was taken out of their hands. And for instance, one woman, you know, they have these Listerman strips, same thing, buccal, and kids get a high on them. You know, they put them on their lips. And one mother was just outraged when her child had a seizure and called the FDA in Florida. And she was so upset that finally the man said, look, we said aspartame caused seizures. We tried to prevent its approval. They should have listened to us. But now they're absolutely the attack dog, you know, of Big Pharma. Today they're, you know, as one doctor called them, the intact FDA prior to its approval. So their hands are tied from that standpoint, and they won't recall it. They know, just like in 1986, that so many people were going blind and having seizures that the Community Nutrition Institute had filed a petition with the FDA to ban it, and they wouldn't do it, and they took it all the way to the Supreme Court. Now imagine how many thousands of people today are blind from it and don't know that Dr. Rayford had said in one of his papers we have on doorway.com with 1-0 that if vision's in the wet stage and you can warn them in time, their vision will come back. And we've had a lot of cases that were blind and they got their vision back on it. That's why we warn so much. But there are countries, people in Parliament, different countries, you know, who would like to get it banned. 49 members of Parliament in the UK have asked that it be banned. People in Norway want it banned. People in Ireland want it banned. And so it's just fighting the manufacturers who have these bottomless checkbooks and their influence. And in the meantime, the only thing that we can do is public awareness, let them know, at least try to get warnings to save the children because it causes birth defects, mental retardation, until we can get it off the market. And if we can get all these countries outraged enough after looking at the actual documents to work hand in hand, we'll have a better chance. And that's one of the reasons that I'm here in New Zealand is to support Abby. She went through such a time, and because of her there is public awareness, but we want to keep it going, and we want the government to know that they've been hoodwinked by the manufacturer, that they've told them a bunch of lies, and let them see the documents for themselves.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Betty Martini, Abby, and if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming into the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and certainly our guest is Betty Martini and Abby, who is trying to use her influence over there in New Zealand to get the aspartame banned. It is a deadly poison. It is known to be a deadly poison. The FDA, Federal Drug Administration in the United States, fought for 15 years to keep this off the market. We can thank Donald Rumsfeld. You know what a great humanitarian Donald Rumsfeld is. He was a close friend of Saddam Hussein. He, of course, sent our boys over to bleed and fight and suffer and die in Iraq without adequate troops, without adequate equipment. And then, of course, did everything he could to block them from being allowed to win the war and let it drag on and on. And this is the same Donald Rumsfeld who, of course, has made a fortune on the Tamiflu scam. He was the president of the company that came up with Tamiflu. And look, all throughout the world, countries have spent billions of dollars stockpiling Tamiflu, which is certainly not effective against bird flu, but that doesn't matter. The propaganda campaign has forced nations to stockpile it. Donald Rumsfeld is a very wealthy man. He's been well rewarded for his work. But, of course, has it really saved human lives, or has it sacrificed human lives? Well, we're talking, of course, about what's going on over there in New Zealand, and Abby is working, and, of course, Betty is over there, because Betty is just a storehouse of information. Has certainly a wonderful website, doorway.com. There's only one O in doorway, that's doorway.com, and you'll want to go to her website, get her information there, and on her other websites. All of the important scientific studies are available on Betty Martini's websites, and the government documents going all the way back, you know, into the scientific work that was done in the 1960s by Dr. Olney, showing that the aspartame produced brain tumors, and it was carcinogenic and produced other types of tumors, and it produced convulsions and pathological obesity and altered pregnancy and abortion and altered fertility and certainly had so many complications because it poisons literally every organ in the human body. And we're going to be back here in just a moment with Betty and Abby, and we'll welcome your calls from out across America. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we're talking to Betty Martini, who's over in New Zealand, along with Abby, who had a terrible reaction to the aspartame Wrigley's spearmint gum, or whatever gum it was she was chewing. Once she got off the gum, all of the terrible symptoms cleared, and now they're working over there to try to create public awareness. Well, Abby, what sort of response are you getting from the media? Are you getting your message out fairly well through the newspapers and through television over there?
Well, originally it was a bit of a shock. I don't think anyone sort of guessed that chewing gum could poison somebody. So at the beginning, the media were very, very interested in it, and it was across the front page of the newspaper in New Zealand. And from then I got quite a few emails from the public saying, wow, this is really interesting, we haven't heard about this, tell me a bit more. So I replied to all these people. And then there was a follow-up when Betty arrived in New Zealand, and the press came out to the airport and interviewed Betty. But since then, we've come off a bit of a batter with the media. I think there's been a few calls that have been made to try and stop the coverage about, you know, what actually aspartame does. So I'm desperate to get Betty in front of the cameras, you know, because all of this stuff needs to come out so the public in New Zealand are aware of it. And we're struggling a little bit, but we're going to get there. We've got public meetings scheduled all over the country, and these have been publicised very well. So we're going to hope to get big audiences, and then I think then the word will get out of this stuff. This isn't safe.
Well, let's hope that you can get some television coverage as well, because meetings, fine. Television and, of course, radio are the means of reaching the people. At least that's how we're doing it here in America. Now, do you have a website over there in New Zealand, or are you using Betty's website?
I'm using Betty's website.
All right, because we do have listeners over there in New Zealand. I know we have them in Australia. We have listeners all over the world. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call in, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question, a comment on this subject, on this very conscious effort to poison our people, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And so you say you have meetings scheduled all over New Zealand?
Yes, we're off to Christchurch next week, which is in the South Island. And we're hopefully going to get a big audience there. And then we come back to Wellington, and Betty's going up to the Wellington School of Medicine to do a lecture there. The following week, we're going to Auckland, which is the biggest city in New Zealand. That's got over half the population alone just in Auckland. So hopefully that'll also attract a lot of people. And then we've got a few engagements elsewhere around the country. So, yeah, the word is definitely going to get out.
All right, well, we've got Ed calling in from Calgary in Canada, and we'll get Ed to pass through here in just a moment. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Ed. How are you doing? How are things up in Calgary?
Oh, not too bad, Dr. Stan. Good to talk to you again.
All right.
What a wonderful 2 hours you just arranged. I called in here to applaud Abby and to encourage her because she's doing the same thing for me. You know, I'm up here and I'm worried about the drugs in the streets, and I'm running into walls too, but I just wanted to call and confirm that you got listeners all over the world, and I do applaud Abby.
All right, well, we applaud her too, and we just hope that they're going to be able to, of course, shake up the establishment over there and get the truth out. Because, really, there are so many people who are poisoning and being permanently damaged by this poison.
Exactly, yes. Anyway, you have a good night, and God bless everybody down there.
God bless you. Thanks. Good to hear from you, Ed. And that's up in, of course, Calgary, where they have the stampede there. That's like a gigantic rodeo, and certainly known throughout the whole world. Some of the best rodeos are held right there in Calgary. So if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment for Abby or for Betty. Certainly Betty is a dictionary of an encyclopedia, I should say, of information on this deadly poison, and Betty's been on the front lines of this battle, what, about 15 years now?
15 years, but I can tell you, Dr. Stan, that, you know, it's making a difference. Holland Sweetener, the largest aspartame manufacturer there in the Netherlands, they have quit making aspartame. There was another company, they said that would continue. They quit. There's one in Japan that has stopped. And Marisson's Upside Down, who's that's a group of Monsanto managers that own part of it, that they owe more than their assets. So people, you know, if you don't buy it, they can't sell it. But the main thing is, you know, if you just can save one life a day, that's the whole idea of Mission Possible International, is to save lives until we can get it off the market. And we have websites, and, you know, the doctors have books, and now there's a movie. And if people would just tell other people continually, and I thought you might like to give out these websites.
Go right ahead, Betty.
www.wnho.net. That's where the aspartame information list is. You can click on aspartame. And you can get Dr. Blaylock's detox program. It's www.dorwaye.com, which is the one that Abby got on. And then there's www.mpwhi.com, Mission Possible World Health International. That's initials. She was also on Mark Gold's site on the Aspartame Toxicity Center. and that's www.holisticmed.com/aspartame. And the other thing that people are going to say, well, if it's poison, you know, what are we going to use? And it should be noted that, you know, there are some safe sweeteners out there. You know about stevia, you know, a healthful green herb that, in the United States. You can get in most health food stores. And now there is the Just Like Sugar, which in the United States is sold in Whole Foods, and they have it here in New Zealand. It's made of chicory and orange peel, and as you know, chicory has been used for 70 years to aid diabetics. People need to know that that it's aspartame can precipitate diabetes and stimulates and aggravates diabetic retinopathy and neuropathy, and that it destroys the optic nerve, causes diabetics to go into convulsions, interacts with insulin. They need to know that this that they're using this product for diet, when in fact aspartame is an addictive, excitoneurotoxic, carcinogenic drug that makes you crave carbohydrates, so you gain weight, and is a reason for this epidemic of obesity. And these are things that people need to know so that they realize that there is no reason whatsoever to use these poisons and not to use Splenda, and that James Turner in Washington, D.C. has already petitioned the FDA to ban Splenda. Sulfene potassium is another bad one that caused cancer and leukemia in original studies. So they do have something safe, but to stay off the bad stuff, because also aspartame interacts with all these things. There's been a study in Liverpool showing the interaction of aspartame and MSG and coloring, and Dr. Blaylock has written a paper on Doorway about the interaction with fluoride and MSG, and aspartame interacts with their drugs, and that's very important, because, you know, somebody can have an aspartame seizure and then they go to the emergency room and they'll put them on anti-seizure medication like Dilantin, and not know that that's going to interact. And so there is so much information that they need to be educated on these websites. And because it is a global plague now, it's important that they know, and they, that if they're on it, that they print out these reports and take them to their physicians, because every physician that finds out about this, they can save the lives of thousands of their patients.
And I really think it's so vitally important that people understand that they are poisoning people in America. They are actually recommending the poison be given to pregnant women, where it'll do the most damage. In other words, they're being encouraged to use these diet drinks that contain aspartame that goes into the placenta and gets into the brain of the child and does irreparable harm. And since we've actually released this product, and that was in the early 1980s, that is when the autism epidemic has really simply exploded since then, and I'm sure it interacts with the other products, with the mercury and the aluminum and with the fluoride and the other toxic substances, all of which attack the brain, which is why in America today, one out of every six children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I would simply ask you, do you know a better way to destroy a great nation than to poison the future generation, to poison our children, and to poison the adults? And, of course, to have this being actively covered up by the media, because they could never do it without the cooperation of the media, the government officials, many of our large corporations, and of course our medical profession. Not that the average doctor would do anything to harm one of his patients, but of course the doctors just don't know. And that's why it's up to you out there in the listening audience to get the information. You don't have to get this from us. There are plenty of websites such as Doorway .com. That's, is that .com or .org?
It's .com.
Okay, Doorway.
We also have .org, but the newer information is on .com.
And then
next to WNHO.net.
And WHNO.net. So here's two great websites. Don't try to remember all the others. Get on there. You'll find plenty to keep you busy. It's a whole learning process. But of course, Betty's mentioned the DVDs. We do carry the DVD, Sweet Remedy, Sweet Misery. We have four tape sets on this. We have a number of books on it. The information is there, but you need to get it. You need to get it in the hands of others. You need to get it to your doctor. You need to let people know that the FDA is intentionally poisoning people, and you need to know the FDA knows exactly what they're doing, and so does Wrigley, and so do the people who are putting out the soft drinks. And, of course, you're far better off, in my estimation, with sugar than you would be with the aspartame. Sugar is a natural substance, which is not good for you. But, of course, it is not the same or as bad a poison as aspartame. If you had your choice of using sugar or aspartame, which would you take, Betty?
Absolutely sugar.
As bad as it
at
is.
At least God made it.
Right, and of course the other is a real problem. Well, certainly it sounds to me like Abby's done a tremendous job of getting these meetings lined up. Are you getting pretty good turnouts of the meetings, Betty? Abby?
Well, we're actually just starting. You know, I got here, just recently, and we've done some things, and, I've been on Radio New Zealand, so the people are getting the information, but the meetings are beginning really next week, and I'll be here total about 2.5 weeks, and I'm sure that by the time that I leave New Zealand, it will be circulated enough that people will continue to circulate it. There's about 4 million people in New Zealand. It's a beautiful country, and I know that they want to keep things natural here and organic, and they're going to work very hard to continue the effort here, and they have been continuing it all along. It's just that Abby is the first one that really got the media's attention. Chris Wheeler is Mission Possible New Zealand, and has been working with me, I think, since about 1993, and has been writing articles, and he is a journalist. But it's just a matter. The big problem about the big media is that, you know, they're the advertising that they're getting from the manufacturer.
And of course, these diet drinks are—it's very, very profitable because the aspartame is so much cheaper than sugar. But you'd be far better off with the sugar than you would be with the aspartame, because of course, sugar certainly is not good for you. But aspartame, it has a methyl alcohol. That methyl alcohol produces blindness. It produces it poisons your brain, and then it breaks down into formaldehyde. And that's what we use to embalm human bodies. So that the tissues certainly will not dissolve, you know, as they ordinarily would for bacterial decay. Why would you want to embalm a human body while you were still alive? And yet that's exactly what we're doing. And, of course, the more you drink, why, the worse the effect. And what about some of these neurological changes people are getting, Betty? These that simulate multiple sclerosis and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis.
Yes, let's talk about some of the new studies. I mean, these things are proven, and there's been a recent study. On WNHO, incidentally, you'll see some of the publicity about Abby, and you'll see one the new neurology report that's come out that shows that MS in females, that is increasing 50% per decade. And, of course, Dr. Blaylock wrote the paper, The MS and Aspartame Connection, which is on that website, and it destroys the central nervous system. Then there was one in Greece. The bottom line of that study, it's also there on that website, is Alzheimer's. And Dr. Roberts has already written the book, Defense Against Alzheimer's Disease, and says in it that it's escalating it. Memory loss is so common, it's number 9
on the FDA list of 92 symptoms. So this is the problem that is causing all these neurodegenerative diseases, and this brings up Parkinson's, which is why Dr. Blaylock wrote Excitotoxins, the taste that kills, his father died of Parkinson's. This is how I found out when somebody was reacting and his arms and legs were kicking out, and you think of Michael Fox, who said at the age of 30, why have I gotten an old man's disease at the age of 30? And he was a Diet Pepsi spokesman, and he was taking L-DOPA, and this is the same case. And that's when I met Dr. Roberts, who says that L-DOPA, you know, interacts big time with aspartame. And if that's not bad enough, now they've put on the market Parcopa and put aspartame in it.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. Well, Betty and Abby, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Who would like to just... Abby, do you have anything you'd like to say to our listeners out across the world?
I do. I want to say this, first of all, that if it weren't for all you Americans and all the experts that have helped me out, I don't know where I would be today. And I say that with absolutely sincerely. I don't know what I would have done. The New Zealand doctors just do not have any idea about what this aspartame can do. You know, I saw four medical people, and none of them, not one of them, had any idea about this. So I want to thank all of the doctors for what they've done, Dr. Blaylock, Dr. Walton, Dr. Stoller, all of them, and most of all Betty, who's made a huge effort and flown halfway around the world to come over and help me get aspartame off the market.
Well, Abby, you know, American doctors, certainly your people in New Zealand, we have a fellowship with all the people English-speaking, common heredity, and but certainly people all throughout the world are suffering from this, and our job is to get the information. Now, we got an awful lot of doctors in America who don't know what's going on, but our job is to get them thinking, and our job is to educate the people, and then to convince them they've got to go to their doctor and just try to get him to check out the facts. That's why if you have a computer, you can pull down the facts. In fact, I really should be putting together a syllabus on this. I hope to one day when we can have a whole flock of these various reports so that the individual can take it to the doctor and say, look, doctor, why is not the medical profession speaking out when the public is being poisoned? Did you know that? And then give them these reports that Betty's put together, so very, very important, or get them to watch one of the DVDs or the four tape sets. So I hope, Abby, that you and the people that you're educating can get to the New Zealand doctors. They mean well. The doctors are trying to help people, but there's been an organized effort to keep them from knowing the truth. Your job and the job of the people that you recruit to help you is going to be to inform the doctors and then to get them to bring pressure on the government. And if just one country or one state or one community would actively ban the use of this, it would be a terrible blow to the people who are using this. And I believe, of course, there's much more than the profit motive behind them, but that's my own personal opinion. Anyway, Abby, the best to you. Thank you for your help. And certainly, Betty, thank you for everything. We'll look forward to talking to you when you get back to the States.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good
thank
night.
You.
God bless both of you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Betty Bartini and Abby over in New Zealand. Remember, of course, we do have the 2 4-tape sets on aspartame. We have 2 DVDs. One is called Sweet Misery, the second one called Sweet Remedy. And, of course, they're both put out by the same woman who goes into the background of how they're poisoning the American people. We carry the book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, by our good friend Russell Blaylock, encyclopedic book, over 1,000 pages, by Dr. Roberts, Aspartame, The Forgotten Epidemic, and then a very short book by Dr. Roberts. They're all available through our website, at RadioLiberty.com by calling our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to have more information on these books, vitally important to understand that they are poisoning our people. But they're also poisoning with fluoride. If you haven't actually, Sydney, seen my talk, The Hidden Agenda, or Syllabus on Water Fluoridation, or seen the four tape sets we have on water fluoridation, there are two of them, and certainly DVDs on fluoridation, the water safety, or certainly we actually have two excellent DVDs on water fluoridation. And then, of course, we have material on mercury, how they're poisoning our children with mercury. And you need, of course, to see the excellent DVD put out by Dr. Ayoub entitled Mercury, Autism, and the Global Population Agenda. That's Mercury, Autism, and the Global Population Agenda. And if you get that, why, you get associated with that, a CD-ROM with thousands of pages of publications on the toxicity of mercury. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know that they're poisoning your children. And we also have a DVD put out by our good friend Joyce Riley on the depleted uranium that we're exposing our boys to over in Iraq. They're destroying the health of our military so that when push comes to shove, there'll be nobody left to defend America. Do you know a better way to destroy an army than to have it poisoned by its own leaders? And I'm not talking about our military leaders. I'm talking about the people like Donald Rumsfeld and other key people in our government who hate the military, who fear that there might be people who would oppose their plans, and so they're poisoning our boys who are fighting over there by exposing them to depleted uranium. And when you get Joyce's DVD, Beyond Treason, that's Beyond Treason, it comes with a CD-ROM in addition that, of course, has thousands of pages of government documents on the toxicity of depleted uranium. And maybe you'll understand why. Within 3 months of the time that our young men come home after fighting over in Iraq or Afghanistan, within 3 months, over 30% of them become ill, and they don't know what to call the illness. They call it post-traumatic stress. Well, of course, they will never tell you how many of these people are actually the victims of experiments. If you don't believe that they experiment on our soldiers and create illness among them, you need to get the Rockefeller Committee report, a report put out by the Veterans Administration in 1994 and thoroughly suppressed, but we have it. You need, of course, to get the other material we have going into the anthrax vaccine, the four-tape set entitled the Vaccine A, the experimental vaccine they gave in the first Gulf War that has poisoned and destroyed the lives of literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of the young American boys who went overseas to fight for freedom. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.